Rocky Augustine and Curtis Augustine individually and as co-trustees of the Norville Augustine Trust, and Curtis as the trustee of the Henry Augustine Trust. The undisputed evidence at trial showed that grandfather Henry Augustine, father Norville Augustine, and mother Nora Augustine, intent and purpose in placing the family farm into trust was to provide for a transfer of the farm to successive generations in a manner that minimized tax liability and to maintain the farm in the family. Curtis and Rocky need this court's help to preserve that intent of their parents and their grandfather. Upon its de novo review, we request the court reverse the portion of the county court's order that erroneously removed the trustees of the trust, terminated the trust, and ordered the appointment of a substitute trustee to replace all three. We request as well that the trust may distribute the trust real estate in accordance with Rocky's and Curtis's proposal set forth on Exhibit 73, Trial Exhibit 73, that I hold, which the county court held that the terms of the trust authorized such a distribution, but held that there was insufficient evidence, erroneously held that there was insufficient evidence to determine the equality of the proposal in Exhibit 73.
Can we start first with the language of the trust? Just we'll start with Norville's trust. Didn't it provide that upon his death that the real estate would be distributed between the brothers?
It did. And the court, one good aspect of the county court's order that is not appealed here by either party is Scott Augustine had petitioned the court to say there is no discretion, there must be a transfer of this land as tenants in common to the three brothers so that I can then seek a petition in a district court action already out on file. We had petitioned the court to say, could you look at all the sentences, all the paragraphs of the trust and determine, in fact, that there is the ability and the authority to transfer individual parcels of property. And the court so found that, yes, you always had that power to do that, but now I'm not going to let you do that.
Okay, so we start with that premise. They should have distributed the land upon his death as tenants in common, or as they may have otherwise divided it based on their authority in the trust. But your client's position is that there was an oral agreement,
right?
And to modify that.
There's two aspects to that. One is that they did feel that there was a 10-year agreement to continue to farm. And the trial record showed that that was backed up not only by their own testimony, by the testimony of the attorney that was at the meeting, but as well as 4 years of performance by not only Scott Augustine, but his wife Sharon Augustine, who did the books for the joint farming operation as well. But in addition to that, I would, I believe it's Headkeen and other cases say that, I mean, there's no language in the Norville Trust that says it is terminated upon his death, which would then go up into a winding up period. And unlike Headkeen, there was a purpose for this trust following Norville's death, based on the fact, as the record showed, that the intent of this trust was to, in part, maintain this in the family. So there was a continued purpose for this trust following the death. But yes, Your Honor, I absolutely agree that at some point there needs to be some sort of distribution.
And the court found, or didn't find, that there was sufficient evidence of an oral agreement, right? And so your position is, in your brief, is that even with that finding, that the brothers that you represent did not behave in such a way that was detrimental to the trust.
It's absolutely, they did not mismanage any assets. I appreciate, and I will get your answer, your question, Your Honor. If you're going to the merits of why we believe it was error for court to remove the trustees, there are first two facts that are helpful, I think, to keep in mind in that regard. The first is the trusts themselves don't farm. There was a lot of findings by the court in its order about there was a physical altercation and there was a dispute about grain and it was an auger or this or that sort of thing. All the trusts were doing during this period of time was leasing the ground. that there's a lot of findings about hiding a computer and not allowing any records to be obtained and those sorts of things. That again has to do with the farming operation, but it's not with the trust. Exhibit 59, Cal Exhibit 59, CPA Carmen Stanley prepared, itemized the entire year's transactions of the trust for 2014. There were six transactions.
Okay, but even with that said, Mr. Spolka, the trustees all owe a duty to the beneficiaries, right? A duty of impartiality, loyalty, to affect prudent administration of the property. And in this case, the argument is that upon Norvell's death, the property should have been distributed, and it was not. And then the brothers, your two clients, it was their preference to collectively continue farming, but it was not Scott's preference to do that. And they opted to move forward based on their preference rather than looking out for the equal interest of all beneficiaries. Wouldn't that be true?
No, it's not, Your Honor, respectfully. So there was not any written request by Scott Augustine to
it have to be in writing?
Didn't have to be in writing, but there was not a single piece of paper in the record that indicated that Scott wanted to break up the trust, whereas there were piles of exhibits that showed his wife's volunteering an allocation every year of the farming of the trust ground. Testimony was that Scott did agree to that orally. Absolutely. That was Mr. DeWitt's testimony, Your Honor, respectfully. But even from oral perspective,
he also testified, though, that he heard Scott say that Scott wanted to separate the land so he could farm with his son.
Okay. I don't know if that statement's in there, Your Honor. But the point is that even orally, back to your question, Your Honor, the most specific that Scott ever got orally in the record was he said, well, I'll take 240 acres of land, which would be inequitable to his brothers. And with that, Your Honor, in regards to placing out their duties, number one, while I will acknowledge that in regards to the 10-year agreement, there were disputes of fact about who said what or who believed what. I don't believe a reasonable fact finder could conclude that Rocky and Kurt proceeded in bad faith in a way that would be a breach of trust, that they would not think that that they believed that there was a 10-year agreement. And more importantly is, if you look at the procedure of this matter, when Scott Augustine filed his lawsuit and said, look, I want this distributed so that I can go petition and sell the family farm, Curtis's and Rocky's response was not no. It was, Judge, we think we have a 10-year agreement. If we don't have a 10-year agreement, here's our plan. This is the plan. Now, Scott's not going to agree to it because he wants a certain piece of property and he's going to get property.
Well, they all do.
And
they all do.
That's right. And
so how is this, even if they waited the 10 years, how would this eventually all go down?
I don't know the answer to the 10 years, but it is, it's majority control by their father's intent.
And
instead
they
of
have
majority
bias
control.
In this, don't they?
So no.
Doesn't it make sense what the court did to say, look, you aren't getting along, you can't reach an agreement, so I'm going to remove you as the trustees, and we're going to, you all can choose one, somebody to replace you that can help maybe mediate this situation, or the court can appoint one, because the three brothers as co-trustees aren't going to be able to figure out, but you're saying that the majority can decide.
But they did, the majority can decide, and we came to the court saying, if you don't think there was a 10-year agreement, we have an equitable solution that splits this up evenly. And that's what they needed to do. And he said, well, the language of the trust allows that.
What's the value for the home place?
That is in the record. And that is something interesting, that the county court indicated that this proposal wasn't fair to Scout because it didn't take into account that valuation. There are appraisals in the record that take into account that the home place is worth more, and so does Rocky's testimony, and this proposal actually then, to balance that out, gave $94,000 more cash to Scott to be able to do that. Again, that would resolve the matter, and we were this close, holding my fingers half an inch apart. The court said that the language would provide for that. We said, well, I don't see an evidentiary basis for that. If you review the record, it's supported by the testimony of the owners and by appraisals that was undisputed as to that valuation. And this would end this in 73.
I see you're out of time, but I do want to ask you about Pamela and her not being a party in these proceedings. Is that problematic?
It is. In part. In part in regards to the relief that Scott is seeking, in regards to, and what the court did in regards to administration. So terminating, removing the trustees, appointing a substitute trustee.
Which is arguably the only piece we would have appellate jurisdiction over.
That is true.
You're saying
no.
You want...
No, it's not.
You would like us to say that we don't have jurisdiction over the removal because Pamela wasn't a necessary party, but we can go ahead and review the other aspects of your assignments of error without her being a party, but do we have jurisdiction over those other aspects?
You do, and this is exactly in the following statute, 25.323. It starts, it says that the court may, and I said this is on the record at trial before we started. The section 25.323 says the court may determine any controversy between the parties before it when it can be done without prejudice to the rights of others.
Okay, you're talking about county court jurisdiction. I'm talking about our jurisdiction.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't generally take appeals kind of piecemeal as to some of the other issues that you're describing. We have authority under Rosenberg to hear appeals on removal of trustees.
Right.
But we may not have authority on those other assignments of error.
We have a court judgment. Well, the fact that we remove the trustees makes that order appealable. The issue is you would rule on, in regards to things you did with administration of the trust, that there was no jurisdiction of the county court, hence that's why it's reversed. We talked a lot today about the merits of that. But in regards to real estate issues, which is, was it error to say that this proposal was not supported by the evidence? We have the parties here. There's no dispute that Pam Shorney does not have any interest in real estate. She does have an interest in whether her brothers get to be trustees and serve at no charges they have to.
With regard to Pamela being a necessary party, would that be true with regard to Henry's trust?
It would, as to administration.
She has no interest in that trust at this point, correct? Her 150 acres have been transferred out into a separate trust for her.
They've been transferred out into a separate trust.
Isn't that right? Isn't only the 80 acres still in Henry's trust, which involves just the brothers?
There is. She does not have. I don't know if she has. If you reviewed it, I don't know if she has a right in personal property in the Henry Trust. I don't know the answer to that. There could be.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
How long did it take, Mr. Scott? 3 minutes. I was
waiting.
Do you have that?
She was so sad. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Jackie Kessler, and I represent Scott Augustine, beneficiary and co-trustee of the Noble and Elmora Augustine Trust, and a beneficiary of the Henry Trust. Judge and have changed in that 5-year time period. And now we're approaching 8 years and the farm still remains in trust. One of the questions that you asked Mr. Skalka that I thought of myself as just preparing for this argument is, if that 10 years goes by, then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at in approximately 2 years with the administration of the trust? Who decides where the farmland goes? How does this look again?
And so, I get kind of stumped, you know, seeing these types of cases. They're very unfortunate, first of all, because of the conflict it creates in the family. But how would that go down? And if the trustees, since there's three and there's two brothers kind of aligned with each other against the third, is it a breach of their duty of loyalty and impartiality in how they decide to divide the land? Could that be argued? You know what I'm saying? And how do you do that as a trustee?
And I think a lot of the cases, and one that was that I recently reviewed was the Campbell case, I believe. When the trustees start acting that benefits their own interests, and I think in this case that's what happened, is both Rocky and Curtis testified that they didn't want to retire yet. And if they distributed the land, that may force them to have to retire. So I think the courts would have to look at those factors. Answering your question, they would have to look at the trustees' actions to determine if that is a breach of trust or impartiality.
But would you agree that if upon Norval's death, Rocky and Curtis said, as the majority, here's how the land is going to be apportioned between us, would Scott have had to live with that?
Possibly. And those facts aren't in front of us, but with that two-thirds majority control, maybe. And
so by delay in getting into this conflict and producing evidence sufficient for this county court judge to say you should be removed, they kind of messed it up for themselves anyway, right? Because they could have done this, presumably,
right away in 2010, 2011, right after Norval died, as part of the normal administration of the trust and distribution of the property. And as the years went by, there was more evidence, obviously, of of reasons why the lower court was correct to remove them. Not only did they not cooperate anymore, there was evidence that they removed their computers when Sharon had always been the bookkeeper. The trust property was managed at the Norval home place. There's a house there, and that's where the campus was. And so there was evidence that they removed that and didn't really give notice to Scott.
Do you think we have a problem not having Campbell?
I'm glad you asked that question, Your Honor. What the problem is that the parties were aware that Pamela wasn't involved. If you look at our petition for the Henry Trust, we didn't notify her. And
she doesn't have any interest left in that trust, does she? Her 160 acres were transferred over to a separate trust.
Right. Okay. Through Norval's power of appointment and through his first household, his will, he created that separate trust for Ann.
So she has nothing left in Henry's trust.
No, it is only the 80 acres that's left in.
So we're good on Henry's trust.
Right.
Without Campbell. So let's talk about Norval.
Well, and with Norval, with regards to the real estate, Pam doesn't have any interest. It's just what's left of
the 100-some thousand in the Pinnacle account.
Right. As of October of 2015, there's 140,000. to any personal property or cash asset that may be left and if an accounting is provided. I think her interests are all protected by that court's order appointing the successor trustee. At least that's my opinion.
Now, to the extent, I guess you have to suppose that if Sam had been involved earlier, then maybe the successor trustee wouldn't have had to have been involved, because she stands to lose money because that successor trustee is probably going to be pretty unusual, whereas Barbara's was in the
bottom. Right. And, it is an issue that we will look for your guidance as to what to do with Pam, but I do think her interests are protected. The biggest issue is, and I think what this court has jurisdiction over, is that the Marble Trust terminated. It's time for somebody else to step in and wrap it up. Remove all of the brothers and get an independent person in there to determine it. Lower court was also correct about that, or that there was not enough evidence on the oral agreement. That meeting happened at Dick DeWitt's office, July 2011. Then in November, Mr. DeWitt sends out a letter that says, let's create an LLC and do something with the farmland. If there was a true agreement that Mr. DeWitt and everybody was aware of, there wouldn't have been a need to send out that letter in December, trying to form this Augustine Brothers LLC.
And your client's objection to continuing in this collective farming operation was to not pay the property taxes and share.
Right, and he's willing and testified that he will pay those, but he didn't know what else to do. And yes, there's evidence that they continued to farm together, but that was also his livelihood as well. He needed to continue to farm, and his wife helped do the books. He testified that she's better at that than he is. I think there's always hope that the three brothers could figure out a way to separate and keep the farms without selling anything, but it just got to the point where they couldn't anymore. And as to the normal home place, everybody seems to want the home place, and I am partial to my client, I represent him, but that is the only piece of property where none of the brothers live. There was evidence that Curtis lives on one of the tracks, and Rocky lives on the other track. And for Scott, who cannot talk to his brothers anymore, to have to continue for his lifetime to farm near their home doesn't really make sense. And if it is valued more, then he'll have to adjust that with cash, and that, I believe, will come out when the successor trustee comes.
So your client has changed his position and doesn't want the G-Sub just the properties anymore? That's not really part of him.
I think that his testimony was that was an offer made early on, and that had changed, yes.
So any hope for the brothers to work this out?
But recently there was a district court case that Scott's interest was purchased out of RKS, so I don't believe there's any hope that they can work this out. And like you said, it is too bad. Unfortunately, as farm values have gone up, we've seen more of this type of litigation rather than less. Mm-hmm. Farmers or brothers are choosing to go on their own and rather than keep it in the family.
It has some interesting estate planning implications.
Yes.